Hello and welcome to another episode of the +63HP Podcast Reviews Edition. I'm one of your hosts, Joan Clemente. Alongside with me are two of my best friend. Person seeing in camera center or screen center is our daddy from the Philippines, Chibox. How are you doing?
What's up? Tired, but good.
Always. And on your screen right, waking at an ungodly hour to hang out with us is Arnie. How are you doing, Arnie?
Hello there. I'm doing fine. A bit under the weather, but I'm okay.
Still working, and, even with, under the weather?
Yep.
Of course.
Damn.
And if this is your first time joining us, welcome. Thank you very much. The +63HP stable of podcasts include a review show, this one that drops usually Mondays and Tuesdays, where we review, deep dive, and give an opinion if you should watch a particular TV series or movie. This week, we have, an interesting, I'm very curious on how my brothers provide opinions about this show, but we will be discussing the new Marvel Spotlight, a 5-episode drop of Echo in Disney Plus. On Wednesdays, we usually drop our very, very first D&D campaign. So a couple of 40-year-old dudes with a lady play our first D&D campaign. We record it, we upload it to YouTube for posterity and for your entertainment. And if you'd like to join our adventure, it has been fun. It's been 2 years now, and we're still going strong, and we're finally getting some people kind of like enjoy the adventure with us. So please join along. You don't have to know anything about D&D. It's been 2 years. I still don't know a lot about it, but we're still enjoying. On Thursdays, we have a collection of our curated list of trailers, short videos, featurettes, clips that we react to, and we see how hyped we are for that upcoming content. So if we like it, we give it a plus. If we're not going to drop, we're going to watch it, or we're not super excited with it, we're going to give it a minus. And on Fridays, on occasion, Chubax and our other best friend RJ can't get enough of D&D, so they spun off a second campaign where they are bad guys. And that's pretty much the roster of our show. So most of the days of the weeks, you'll have new content coming, dropping up for us. You can follow us on socials with the handle at +63. We're on Facebook, Instagram, X. And we are also streaming live our recordings of these shows on weekends. So if you are in the United States, Saturdays and Sundays morning, anywhere between, let's say, 9 in the morning till 12 Eastern, we will be recording all of these shows on Twitch or streaming it on Twitch. So twitch.tv/plus63hp, join us. It's fun. Interact with us while we ramble across all of the things that we're trying to discuss. Housekeeping done. Before we deep dive into Disney Plus's Echo miniseries, we always want to start off with a non-spoilery instant reaction about the series for people that haven't watched the series yet. So, you know, if you haven't watched the series but you still want to discuss with us, pause this video right now, pause this podcast, go watch the entire series and come back and see if our opinions align. So before we go into the beat-by-beat synopsis of Echo, let's start with initial reaction, instant reaction, general reactions to the show. Arnie, what did you think of the 5-episode Echo series?
Well, my first general reaction.
General reaction.
Yeah. I liked it. First three episodes, great. Unfortunately, I think and a lot of the reactors and even online, they mentioned that it was supposed to be 6 episodes, but the budget ran out or it was cut, so the last 2 episodes suffered a little bit. But I liked it.
Chibox?
I enjoyed a lot of it. Had some. I guess issues with some of the things that they chose to do, But I do love Maya. I have to say I love her. Oh, I love her actress. Maya. I love her character. I love the Kingpin. So I enjoyed it. Just have some issues.
Yeah, I'm excited to discuss those issues with you because I had my issues as well in terms of choices with the character. And much like what Arnie has mentioned, really, really enjoyed, like, very, very strong first few episodes. Very, very strong episode by episode beat.
Mm-hmm.
Love the family, love the characters. I mean, I do want to discuss the fact of Maya being so loved by the community. So we'll discuss that later. But yes, I'm not sure on the ending or the last few episodes. I'm still like, you know, a week departed. I still don't know if it's good or not. In general, though, I actually like the 5-episode series.
Or man.
I love it's super short. Right, it's it's very easy to watch. The action was a step up, and this is one of those things where I know we talk about when we watch shows if they overextend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we kind of don't like it. If you're a reacher, where you're just do your thing, don't be too deep, just make it fun. So this, because it's Marvel and it's Marvel Spotlight, they have to have that added layer of extra. I think they did a little too much, but not overly complicated. So it's still like, if you just want to sit down, open your eyes, you're going to enjoy it. There is, you know, the nature of being Marvel, there is some homework that you need to do, and if you really, really want to enjoy the series,
no, like, I think the first episode did a great job of
it. Did, that's the thing too. That's
cutting
why
that homework, you know, now.
I think,
or even eliminating it in a sense.
Yeah, in terms of first episodes, this was a very, very good recap first episode where you recap other series like Hawkeye, you recap Maya's origin story in terms of how, you know, she was, you know, become a muscle and why she was good, etc., etc. So I think they did a
but really, not really, in a recap way,
not in a recap. It's totally new. That's a good thing too, because Maya in Hawkeye, Maya did not have an origin story. She had a little bit.
Yeah, but, so they cut it. They got the little origin she had there, and then they added around it to make it more linear. So that was great. I was proud. I was really glad for that, and amazed that they were able to do that.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the thing too. But again, I think this is one of those good, not great. But it was fun. So we'll again, for if you haven't seen the series and want to join us in this discussion and pause the podcast, watch, it's 5 episodes, super quick. It's like half an hour ish each episode, anywhere between like 37 to the last few episodes was a little bit long, it was like almost an hour, but that's just one episode, so come back. All right, we're now going to dive into spoiler territory. So again, Echo is a 5-episode Marvel Spotlight series that dropped both in Disney Plus and on Hulu on January 9th, 2024. It stars Alacqua Cox, which is kind of great because she's not only an amputee, but she is an actual deaf person, you know. So in Echo is
and,
a character
Native.
And Native American. And Native, right?
So she's like Echo.
This was
she is of, Echo.
It was, she was Echo Plus, because in the comics, Echo was not an amputee.
Yes, I don't think so.
So that was watching a lot of interviews of Alacqua Cox. That was her concern, because like all of her friends wanted her, because like, hey, a deaf mute martial artist, you know, go audition. But she always had, even she herself was like, I, you know, I, you know, I'm an amputee. It's not, you know, I don't know if they're going to go even that route too, but I think that highlighted her skills even more. So, Vincent D'Onofrio, reprised his role as Kingpin. Like, he is Kingpin. Like, he's the weird pacing and quiet, but loud and angry. I just love him.
He just brings a vulnerability to a badass, right? You know, it's like,
for some reason, he humanizes Kingpin.
Yeah, it's like he shows, you can see his weakness, like he's kind of mumbling. It's like a dork in a sense, like the bully kid, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but
that's a great way to, I never really thought it that way, but like that's a great way to discuss it, because his dorkiness, his nerdiness is the thing that made him Kingpin.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah,
develop that armor. So there are a couple of like really, so yeah, it's beyond us, although we're people of color, it's beyond us to speak truly deeply in terms of the Native American culture. But you know, from what we've seen in you know, in the series, it's very, very well represented. How accurate it was, we don't know.
Choctaw Nation.
But at the end of the series, like they had like a nice splash screen saying that the Choctaw Nation was heavily involved in the creation of this series, and so all the things that we see, the games, the rituals, the festivals,
the light horsemen,
right, both in the Native American sense, but also in the Oklahoman sense, was hopefully well represented. So just a few of the actors that they have is that they have Chaskey Spencer, Henry as Henry Black Crow Lopez, Tantu Cardinal, Maya's estranged grandmother, her name's Chula, also, you know, highly, very, very much authentic Native American. Charlie Cox had like a new scene here in the first episode, which kind of great. I was very surprised that they dropped a lot of stuff in the episode.
Daredevil, it's the original armor, the Netflix armor.
Yeah, but this was because the timeline during the early time.
Yeah,
right?
It was early.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, because earlier, I don't know, She-Hulk, he didn't use the Daredevil armor.
No, because when he appeared here, it's in the early scene.
Yeah, because before they were not, because before, remember, the Netflix, Marvel Netflix were not canon. Now
they're leaning towards
canonizing the...
I'm just happy that they corrected that shit. And we finally got a scene on Twitter also of Matt walking with Foggy and Karen.
Yeah. At least reshoots, right?
Whoever...
Avocados are long.
Yeah, the good thing about it is like also like they have an out. So when the executive mentioned like officially canonizing the Netflix Marvel series, he still had an out that they might change a few things. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they just like brush off Iron Fist, but keep
or maybe Colleen Wing is Iron Fist.
I'm just happy that somebody knocked some heads. And they had to reassess and stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, you know, they needed time to, like, see how Echo gets written. So it's very difficult to write Echo without canonizing some Daredevil. Netflix stuff. It's but, also, like, they have 18 episodes of Daredevil Born Again. So that's a lot. So maybe during the course of building it, they really realized like how we can't just like brush stuff off. We need to canonize some things. But they still need to clear some stuff because Mahershala Ali is Blade. And he's also Copperhead in...
Cottonmouth
in
Luke Cage.
So that needs to be addressed at some point. So
Plus by canonizing at least Daredevil, they don't have to rehash the origin story, so they could just splice some episodes, scenes from that Netflix show, and maybe update it to the 616 MCU style or whatever.
They have an army of writers that are getting paid to make sure that these things is as close. It's never going to be perfect because whatever they do, but I'm happy that at least like generally it's canon. They might change stuff. They have Daredevil back. They have Punisher back. They have Jessica Jones back. Luke Cage is actually not confirmed yet. And course, Danny Rand or Iron Fist, not confirmed yet. But yeah, coming back to the Echo series, the series is fairly simple. So this happens 5 months after the events of the last season of Daredevil. So, oh, sorry, of Hawkeye. At the end of Hawkeye, concentrating on the Maya Kingpin relationship, Maya shoots fucking Kingpin in the face.
Because she found out that he had his dad killed.
Yeah. So he is, she's now touted as the King Killer. So she is technically on the run from, for the lack of the better term, the tracksuit mafia. Anything that is under Wilson Fisk's hand is after her for shooting Kingpin in the face. It seems like it, though, that even with Kingpin dead, the Kingpin mechanism is still running like a machine, which is, that's the
testament. Dirty part of me. A testament to Kingpin's.
Like, there was no power vacuum, huh? There's like, we're still running.
So during the season, we'll talk about all the heads, all the houses, but the idea of it, this is an enterprise. In the end, like, you can be the thuggiest thug, you can be the most powerful superhero, but the mechanism of the machine is the one that keeps the machine going. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if you're super rich, if you're a sucky businessman. So this one, it means like, hey, even like the in the middle episodes when we're, well, so before I get to that, so Maya's on the run. She comes back home to Oklahoma to Lalo get a little help, but also what she really is trying to do is totally topple the Kingpin system from the inside. Like, that's what she wants to do. Like, she has this notion that she might be the Queen Pin. Like, why not? Right? She killed a dude. So she wants to lay low and plan stuff out. During the first few episodes, the things that we want to kind of like highlight is every episode has a name, like a Native American name. We don't know it yet in the earlier episodes, but what those names represent. But essentially, every episode starts with a flashback of a kind of like a Choctaw native, like an origin story, where these women have some additional abilities that has come from the ancients, right? So that's kind of like in the first episode, that is the most magical, mystical version of this. So as you go through episode by episode, goes through different generation, goes through different women having special abilities, and their abilities kind of change. How does that come into play? Well, no, actually. But the good thing about the first episode, again, it's chocked with additional origin stories where there's a flashback on why. Maya became one of Kingpin's top henchmen because she, you know, Maya was like Kingpin. She had a lot of rage in her, but not channeled properly. Kingpin channeled it into other bad stuff.
Amazing.
So she became kind of like an understudy in terms of Wilson Fisk's henchmen. And in one of their employees, one of their shady businesses, they run into Daredevil, and Maya was able to go toe to toe with him, last as long as she did, and she wasn't actually beaten by Daredevil. So that was the one that kind of caught Wilson Fisk's eye, and then continued her tutelage, his tutelage of Maya. So that's kind of episode one. A lot of about episode one is showing her origin, the mystical powers of this Native American. In this, the first episode is Chaffa, but also a lot of it was putting the seeds on why Maya was estranged with her family in Oklahoma. So she came in, just, you know, hung out with Biscuit. So we go along, Again, this is in episode one. Also, we kind of like been shown that Fisk has recovered from her injuries, like his injuries, which is being shot in the eye. Which is, I still do want to know, like they need to explain that a little bit more. You got shot in the face, like right? I mean, the eye is like so close to the brain, or like yeah. even if you look at on the side, like
yeah, mutant.
But again, the thing with Kingpin is like they're really, really they harp on the fact that Kingpin has no mutant powers. He's just 400 pounds of New York muscle.
Yeah.
So all right.
Well, okay. in Hawkeye, what he was bombed, electrocuted. I mean, seriously, he got through all that stuff, right?
I think he deserves to be Kingpin, but
yeah.
I'll move on to episode two. We see another flashback now in Alabama, 1200 AD, person named Loak, another tribe. So this is more of like we see a tribe playing some form of game, kind of like an ancient type of rugby / football. And then we see this person, let's say, you know, Loak, be able to kind of like burst out with power to secure her and her tribe of the victory. And then in second episode, this is where Maya starts really implementing how she wants to take over the Kingpin business by hijacking a cargo train. So one of the reasons why she went back to Oklahoma, because one of the stops, one of Kingpin's managers is there, like, you know, keeping inventory of stuff he's getting, which is Maya's uncle. So Maya employs the help of Biscuit to help her kind of not necessarily steal, which is a nice thing. It is like she wants to bomb a Kingpin repository cargo hold by hijacking a cargo container, putting some bombs in it, and then having it explode at the end, where, you know, the depot where all of these illegal stuff happens with Kingpin.
That was actually a surprise. I like that. I didn't expect that to be the how it was going to be. Like, I thought she was stealing something or something.
Yeah, because normally it's a train heist, right? Like, you know, Firefly was a train heist. Even Breaking Bad was a train heist. This one is like, nope, I'm just planting a bomb.
Oh, shit. Before that, like, we skipped over Daredevil.
Oh, yeah, no, we did say that in first episode that she, one of the reasons why Kingpin caught her eye is like she was able to kind of like go toe to toe with him. So that was kind of like
that, a big that scene was amazing, bro. That, like,
great fight choreo.
The camera angles, the Matt Murdock movement, like everything, like even him like playing around with her. I still like that they're focusing on him not, you know, moving his head because he doesn't need to. And even like the push up where he got kneed in the face, I think he fell and then immediately just pumped out. Like, fuck.
So in the first few episodes, and again across all the seasons, what I really appreciated is the use of Maya's leg, like her prosthetic leg.
The turn with the slingshot, the snap kick.
She did the slingshot, like she'll grab her leg, lift it up, and then. So like there's just a lot of like you really appreciate, that's the thing. They did a little too much in the series, but we appreciate the elements. Like if they concentrated on just street level action, which we'll discuss here in a little bit, like I would have preferred if they concentrated on the street level action and then less of family drama mysticism. But that's me. Right? A lot of people really appreciated that because, you know, how does like a deaf female amputee, you know, get this powerful? So they kind of wanted to give her a little bit of like that's.
Let's get into this. For me personally, I'm with you. I would have loved if they stuck with the street level, and I'm thinking about it. I'm okay with her getting a power, but what I didn't like was which power they gave her. You know, it's like
basically all.
You know, it was like, was it healing? Yeah. Was it something?
There's
else?
Healing. Oh. There's like tactical, and then there's
It kind of makes sense. So, it kind of makes sense in the way they did it.
Super strength.
Because like she's like an echo of everybody, and everybody had different things. So so she had like access.
She was able to
all
access it whenever she needs it.
Yeah. So I guess thinking of it, it's okay right now, but. Yeah. The problem was, I think, that first fight with Daredevil was
just
peak. It was just too much, and that after that,
too good.
That was
the best fight choreo.
They couldn't replicate
it. It's like the hallway scene with the first Daredevil.
Yes, it was close. I did it pretty good in the episode 3 with the bowling thing. There was good fights there too, but it was the climax fight that was really let down because of the power and the way they editing. Well, I understand how they're trying to make it like the culmination of everything, but that took away from the street level fighting. They could still have used the power in a way, or the editing in a way that with the focus on the fighting.
I did mention, you know, because they did mention that the budget was a bit cut. There was supposed to be like a sixth episode. So it's kind of like with Deadpool. They planned on a big set piece, a lot of guns, things, and they ran out of money.
It's like there's no guns.
He left the guns in the taxi, so they have to be like improvised. So that's why like they kind of like had to pull the powers out from thin air, basically, right? But yeah, I mean, I agree. We could have used more action, like street level.
But I also think it's because here's the curse of Marvel, right? Because it connects with too many other properties.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kingpin was there, and then they, you know, this was a vehicle. Like it seems like it's a vehicle on how they're setting up Kingpin to be the Thanos of the street level.
Yep.
Right? They want to set up Daredevil. So the last episode not only had to be action-packed, but also address all of these things. And then how do you address all of these things without killing Kingpin or just like, oh, there's no Kingpin in the last episode, so he escaped and just like fighting all the henchmen. So this is kind of like, how is the last episode, how can it be defeating Kingpin but not defeating Kingpin?
Yeah.
Right? So how can she defeat Kingpin, quote unquote, heal him?
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, shift from the physical to the emotional trauma, but also, like, you know, in effect, I'm looking at it, it's like this is the reason why you know Kingpin becomes even more
powerful,
bad, right? Because now becomes like,
well, not more bad, more effective. I mean, if it doesn't have those hang-ups.
And now it's like him being healed makes him like shit. Now
more success. He's gonna be harder to stop.
More successful bad guy.
Yeah.
Then it's basically healing him is now it's just him choosing to be Kingpin versus I was traumatized
and spread it in not only for in the underworld but also. In the politics,
because in the end credits, I mean, we're skipping way ahead, but the end credits scene, it's implied that Kingpin is going to be the mayor of New York.
He's going to run for mayor, which is basically the inspiration of Daredevil Born Again. Is like Kingpin was the mayor, etc., etc. So yeah, I mean, it works. But going back to just like we'll skip a lot of the middle episodes because a lot of the middle episodes again is just showing Maya's why and how she was estranged with her family. If we haven't discussed it yet, like the dad again, Maya's dad was a henchman, one of the top henchmen of Kingpin. He died. Quick recap of Hawkeye or why Echo Maya switched sides, because Kingpin was the one that gave Daredevil the info about the dad, so that Hawkeye. Ronan to kind of like wipe out that. So Kingpin used his dad and that particular branch of his facilities as a pawn for Ronan. Maya found out, so
no. And Kingpin, my interpretation is, he wanted Maya for himself, so he had to wipe out.
That's another thing too. That, and so in you will see in the season that Maya's uncle took over, essentially taking care of the logistics of the bad stuff within his area. So when the hijacking and the bombing of the arms depot or the armory of Kingpin in that sector happened, you'll see the really cool uncle like, hey, how's our numbers? You know, was it, you know, did we send stuff at the right time? Did we account for every single thing? So on his end, he didn't do anything bad. He got the stuff and sent it over. If something happened in between sending it over and the armory, that's not also. It, this is kind of like one of the things that we'll say. So initially, what's the name of the uncle? I forget.
Henry.
Okay. Yeah, so Henry Black.
You would remember.
Yeah, Henry Black. Black Crow. initially was against Maya's taking over Kingpin or fighting Kingpin. But eventually, because we kind of see that, you know, Kingpin is alive and is trying to get back at anything. And they did kind of find out what had happened and where it had happened. So they kind of like narrowed it down into the Oklahoma Choctaw era. So it's like, they're going to get that. So also one of Henry's employees ratted out that Maya was there. So Vicky. They started kind of,